J1. Number 14A.
To this idea on our sheet, which talks about outside body. And in the compendium, we read that soul is outside body. Now, what actually does this mean? We see that the universal or world false belief is that soul dwells in a material body. This means that the belief is that our true identity dwells in a matter body. Now, do we believe this? We want to ask ourselves right now, do we believe that the majority of us feel right before we begin this that we live in a material body? All right, now let's see what we can do with this belief. Notice I said that it was a false belief that we believe that we dwell in a material body. Now, the fact is, and it which is stated through mind, spirit, and soul, is that soul is spirit mind. Now, what does this mean? Soul is spirit mind. This means that true identity is an idea in mind. Therefore, true identity is not imprisoned in a matter body. Now, this is going to require an awful lot of talking to make this really felt, I think. But we're saying that true identity does not dwell in a matter body. So, first of all, we must see this, what this means theoretically, and eventually we will feel it very warmly and practically. In Science and Health, we read, keep distinctly in thought that soul is spirit, outside matter, never in it, never giving the body life and sensation. Now, these are really the big teachings of Christian Science, that soul is spirit, outside matter. And I think these teachings have brought all the condemnation, so to speak, upon the science of Christian Science, because it just isn't understood what this means, or it cannot be explained. These teachings cannot be explained spiritually and scientifically correct in order that there is understanding about these ideas. So, the fact is, Mrs. Eddy states, that soul is spirit, outside matter, never in it, never giving the body life and sensation. Soul is spirit means that true identity exists as an idea in mind. Therefore, the divine mind alone is the basis of our true identity. Now, I think it helps us if we always go back and very closely look at the false beliefs in the world concerning our true identity. Let's go in and see why we have such a strong belief that we live in a matter body. And we can see this because we must always look at the beliefs that are in the world, because as we know, these beliefs linger humanly and mortally within our human and mortal subconscious, and they're there and we feel them and we know them, and it's often hard for us to shake loose of these old false beliefs. Now, the first degree of false physical beliefs constitute what we call mortal mind. And as we know, mortal mind is the cause of all error. And because mortal mind misunderstands the nature of our true identity, we therefore have a whole gamut of false beliefs. It's just because our true identity is misunderstood that we have false concepts. Now, let us step by step outline what these fundamental false beliefs are. First, there is the belief that there exists many minds. The first major false belief is that there exists many minds. Everyone has a separate mind. So the false belief is, as we sit in this particular room, we look around and we think, oh yes, everyone has a separate mind. There are minds many. The second big false belief is that there exists two distinct substances. Mind, the thinking substance, and matter, the inert solid stuff substance. So, the second big false belief is that there exists two separate substances. There exists in being two distinct substances. The one substance is mind, the thinking substance, and the other substance is matter, the life-giving substance. But these are two separate substances existing in being per se. Now, the belief then is there is mind, thinking substance, matter, the life-giving substance. Therefore, matter is sensible, and that matter itself, you see, matter itself exists per se, and matter itself has life, intelligence, and sensation. That matter itself possesses the qualities of life, intelligence, and sensation. Now, the third big belief then is that matter is sensible. That matter therefore is sensible, and matter therefore constitute what we call the body. Now, we have two distinct entities, mind, the thinking substance, matter, the sensible substance, the life-giving intelligent substance, and that matter constitutes body, that our body is made up of sensible matter, that our body therefore is made up of sensible matter, you see. Therefore, the body, or in other words, the entire structure and substance of our organism is composed of sensible matter. And therefore, it is believed that all the functions of hearing and seeing and smelling and touching and tasting are all functions of sensible matter. You see that these functions of seeing and hearing and tasting and touching belong to the body. These are five physical senses that belong to the body, you see. These are characteristic of the body. So, again, the false belief is that there is mind and body, two separate entities. Mind, you see, mind, the thinking substance, must see, feel, hear, taste, touch, smell through body, the sensible matter. Mind must have body, matter, in order to hear and to see, you see. It must have its matter, body, in order to be concrete. Otherwise, mind wouldn't be. It must, you see, be in the body. Mind must be in the body in order to see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, you see. So that the mind must be in a matter body, and it's through the matter body that the mind operates. Now, this is what we believe, that we are in a matter body, that our mind exists in a matter body. This is what we very strongly feel and believe. Now, this is a very primitive belief. If we believe this, this is very, very primitive. It's a very first, very primitive degree of mortal mind. That's a very primitive feeling, a very primitive mortal mind belief. Because as we have seen in physics today, and especially with Einstein physics, physicists have dropped this primitive belief that matter is a inert solid stuff substance. We know that the physicists now see that matter is energy, and that this concentrated form, which we call inert solid stuff substance, which of the body, is now explained as being total energy in its concentrated form, and that light is just energy in its free-flowing form, but everything is energy. But now, we know then, through physics, that this isn't a solid stuff, inert substance body, but that it's energy. It's concentrated energy. But physics goes on to say that energy is a product of the mind. So now what happened to the body? The body, from the belief that it was a solid stuff, inert substance, becomes energy, and then the physicists say that energy is a product of the mind. Now, not only then do the physicists say that energy is the product of the mind, as we have seen in various quotes together, but we've also seen that the physicists will say that all the various qualities of hearing, sight, taste, smell, touch, and taste are qualities that exist only in the mind. They say that hearing, sight, smell, taste, touch are qualities of the mind. These are qualities that adhere only in the mind. Now, this is something which is interesting, and that the various thinkers are seeing that these are qualities of the mind, and especially in Lincoln Barnett's book, The Universe and Dr. Einstein, I believe it's on page 18 and 19, that he speaks that these faculties of the five physical senses are actually faculties of the mind. So, we come now to the point where our body now is explained as energy, concentrated energy, that energy is a product of the mind. Therefore, all is mind. And this is what the physicists and psychologists and philosophers are seeing, and we have saw this together last session, that all is mind. All is a question of consciousness. Now, what we must see, that when these physicists begin to say, all right, matter is energy, energy is a product of the mind, therefore all is mind, they're beginning to see the truth about that first degree of false belief, mortal mind. We must see that the whole universe is finding out the truth about mortal mind. This is the big thing. Our study in science is explaining the divine mind and what goes on within spiritual reality. But the world is explaining mortal mind. It's really getting in there and breaking up false beliefs. It's really analyzing mortal mind. Now, when the world says that all is mind and all is a construction of consciousness, now it's seeing that all is mind. But it's seeing that all is a material mind. It's as the Sir James Jean has said, and he's a physicist in his book, he says, objective and material universe is proved to consist as little more than constructs of our own mind. Now you see, he says objective and material universe are little more than constructs of our mind. He is seeing that the material universe is a product of our mind. And these thinkers are seeing that this whole material experience we go through is the product of a material consciousness. And that is the big point. They are seeing that a material consciousness is producing a material universe. Now, it's a material consciousness that is producing all those beliefs. And we go on and we'll see that they're asking, how can we break out of this material consciousness? So how can we break out of a belief of a material universe? Because maybe there's something else, you see. But I'll go on to that in a minute. What constitutes material consciousness? You see, they're saying a material consciousness is producing a material universe. Well, the material consciousness was, they're seeing that all is mind. And what is, then, what is this material consciousness that is producing a material universe? And they're saying that the material consciousness is that, the belief is that mind is imprisoned in a matter body. A material consciousness believes that there is mind and an inert substance matter. And it started by, you see, you can just feel, it starts by a dualistic reasoning. Man would look out and see the phenomenon and see that the subject and object, and always feel that the subject was split from the object, and always felt that mind was separate from the body, and that there had to be a thinking substance and a material substance. The mortal mind always had to reason in two. It couldn't feel like mind and body were one, because mortal mind reasoned in dualism. It reasoned in a two-value logic. So it just said, well, then that mind or the thinking substance is separate from matter, and that mind exists in a matter body, you see. That is the material belief. And because that is the material belief, that mind exists in a matter body, and that in order to see and to hear and to smell and to touch and to taste, mind must do this through a matter body. And it's because of these whole beliefs that mind exists in a matter body per se, and that body has sensation itself, that body has pain and pleasure. The belief then is that body is governed by time and space, and that the body lives and dies. This is the belief, that mind is in a matter body. The belief is that that matter body is controlled by the laws of time and space, and the belief is that that matter body must live and die. Therefore, we experience this universe, you see. That's why we experience mainly the laws of cause and effect, time and space. We're experiencing life and death because this is what mortal mind believes. Therefore, we experience it. Mortal mind is producing the material universe. It believes this. Therefore, it is experiencing it. The universal belief is a material in the nature of a material consciousness. Therefore, it's projecting a material universe, and we are experiencing these beliefs, you see. Now, this whole material way of viewing reality constitutes the present world belief, you see. And that, therefore, is why we seem to be experiencing a so-called material universe. Now, we're seemingly are experiencing this whole time-space universe, this whole life-death universe, because, you see, mortal mind believes it, and because the majority of the world believes it. We seem to be experiencing it. Now, we come to the big point in the world today, you see. Many of the scientists and philosophers and other thinkers are beginning to understand then that our material structure of consciousness is determining our experience. And many of these thinkers now ask for and seek new ways of viewing reality. You see, they know that our material consciousness is projecting the material universe. They know this. The thinkers know this. They are desperately seeking new ways to view reality. And in the top circles, and when you read the books, they are just searching for new ways of viewing reality because they know reality exists differently than we're experiencing it. And you just get this fantastic feeling when you're reading their books that they're just searching out for other ways of viewing reality. Now, one way you can get the feeling of somebody who's searching very strongly is Bruce Wilshire, and he writes in his book, Metaphysics, this interesting statement. He says, "We are confined to a store of conceptual tools that may be inadequate to the task of comprehension. We may even forge new conceptual tools and see the world in quite a different way. Indeed, the world may be quite different." Now, Wilshire says, we are confined to a store of conceptual tools that may be inadequate to the task of comprehension. He is saying that our whole reasoning may be inadequate. He asks us to forge new conceptual tools and to see the world in a different way because he says, indeed, the world may be quite different. He is asking for new ways of viewing reality. Now, this is then, during the next few years, our whole task. Our whole task is going to be to help attend the birth of a new world image. And this whole new world image is going to be brought forth. It's the law of mind. Mind must come forth, the reality, truth must express itself, you see. False beliefs must disappear. Therefore, our whole task of the next few years is to help attend this birth of a new world image that people and scientists are searching for, to get out then of a material consciousness. So we see that world consciousness is now going through a total transformation. And this transformation, then, is a change from a material basis, and it's going to be a change into a spiritual basis, you see. And the world consciousness we will see as we go on in the next few years will become less and less material. It already is. It says all is mind so far. And therefore, it's less and less material. The whole accent in the world today is upon consciousness. It isn't on matter. Matter is dropped. The accent is on mind, you see. So we're seeing the world is less and less material. And as this world becomes less and less material and it catches on, you see, to the fact that there's only one mind now and not many minds, and that one mind is the divine mind, and it catches on to spiritual facts, we'll see new images and new experiences will appear for us all. On a whole universal scale, we will experience a new world image. It's just inevitable that we will not have to always experience a time, space, life, death world. Man will not always live and die, and we won't go through the horrors of mortal belief. But you see, we're in the process of educating the whole world, because you see, the belief is that the universal controls the lesser, and we live in a democracy which believes that the majority governs. And because the world believes that the majority governs, we suffer under these beliefs. Because we say in science, I understand that the divine mind is all and the divine mind forms the image, yet I go out and see dead birds laying around and accidents and people dying and everything. I say, why? When I know that divine mind forms a perfect image. The reason is because it's a universal false belief. The majority still believes in mortal mind's beliefs, you see. It's a whole total education of the majority that must happen in order that the whole universal image will change. And this is the exciting times we're in, because we're into a period where we will experience new images and we will experience new experiences for all of us. But actually, these images are there. In reality, the divine mind has created the image. It's a perfect image, but mortal mind is distorting it. As mortal mind's false beliefs drop off and off more and more, we'll see more the real understanding of our true identity. So one must see that we live in exciting times, but we also must be able to read the signs of the times and see where we are. Now, today then, we see that the world is beginning to analyze mortal mind. It's beginning to see that the material consciousness is producing our material universe, and it seeks for new ways of seeing the world anew. And this is where the science of Christian Science teachings come in, because actually the science of Christian Science teaches how we can spiritually and scientifically cultivate our consciousness anew, so that we can actually view reality from a spiritual basis. And this is why we are going through these teachings, so we can cultivate our consciousness into the real realm of the divine mind and to view reality from its true spiritual basis and not from its false beliefs. This is why our teaching is so important. We're really culturing our eternal structure of consciousness. It's very big what we're doing. I mean, we are at work on our eternal structure of consciousness. We're cultivating our consciousness spiritually, on a spiritual foundation, you see. Slowly and slowly, we're dropping old material beliefs. So what we're doing is very big, and if we can just hang on to these super symbols of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and listen to what they're saying to us, we can really go forth in big ways. So, again and again, we have the fundamentals of our subjects. We must drill it, we must drill it, we must drill in it till it flows very naturally, you see, within us. Now, what then are these spiritual teachings of the science of Christian Science? And how do they oppose the material teachings in the world today, so that we can hold on to something in a concrete way? Now, the teachings of science, just to go through it in a very nutshell, and these are things we know, but we must drill. Christian Science teaches, therefore, that there is only one mind, and that mind is the divine mind. There is just one mind, and that mind is the divine mind. And this one mind appears in infinitely new ways, in new forms, yet still remains the one mind. So as we look out into the room, we know that there's just the one mind, but appears in infinitely new ways and infinitely different forms, but it always remains the one mind. Therefore, there are not minds many. This is how we counteract the belief in the world that there are minds many. See, the world believes there are minds many, and science comes in and says, no, there is only one mind, and that mind is infinitely individualized. It takes on many unique forms. You see many different forms of this one mind, yet it always remains the one mind, it appearing in infinitely different ways, you see. So there are not minds many, there's only the one mind. So we can go on to say, all right, now, mind, then, is the all in all. Mind alone is the basis, the substance, and the only true identity. You see, mind is the basis, substance, and true identity of reality. So mind is the all in all. All is mind, you see. It's all mind. It's a mental universe that we live in. We live in the world of just the one mind. We live in a realm of mind, you see. And mind is not in anything else. You see, the world believes that mind is in matter. No, mind is not in matter. Mind is not imprisoned in a matter body. Mind is all. What we see as a form is a mind form. It's nothing separate. What we see is mind is all, but the form we see is a mind form. It's an image in mind. All is mind, you see. It's mind. All is mind. There is mind is not in anything else. It's all is mind. But mind is so powerful that it can form an image. And that image can appear as substance. That's how powerful mind is. Just imagine that mind can form an image and an image can appear as substance. We've just misinterpreted it, you see, and thought that the substance had to be something separate from mind because we couldn't believe that mind could be so strong to form an image that we could touch and all this. It could be substance, you see. But mind is powerful. We do not know the power of mind. And Mrs. Eddy says somewhere in Science and Health, just give to mind all that mind deserves or something. She just wants you to see the immensity and the power of mind, that mind forms the image. Mind is the basis of everything. It's all mind, you see. And if we can just go away from these classes just knowing that that's our true identity, it's all based on mind. So we see then that all these faculties of hearing, sight, taste, smell, and touch are faculties of the divine mind. They are not faculties of matter, of sensible matter. That's a false belief. They are faculties of the divine mind. Mind alone sees, hears, tastes, touches, and smells. Mind alone does this. This is the power of mind, you see. Those are mental faculties to be able to hear and to see. This is the power of mind. Now, do we see these big differences then between the spiritual teachings of Christian Science and the world beliefs? We can go on then and see, Mrs. Eddy says, in Science and Health, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. Now, you see, this she is stating the scientific statement of being. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. Right there she is kicking that first degree of false beliefs right out the window. There is no life, truth, intelligence in an inert substance matter. That is a false belief. She says all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. You see, that is reality. So, we see then how close the world thinkers come to trying to get close to all is infinite mind in its infinite manifestation, because they're very closely trying to see, well, all is mind, and they see that a material construction of consciousness is forming our image, and they see that the matter beliefs are not right, and just slowly they will break into a spiritual basis and see all of infinite mind and its infinite manifestation.